I'll share a little background for us. When I came to Jesus Christ, I will never forget that day. If you do not remember the day that you came to Jesus Christ, my first question to you is, are you saved? That is a day you will never forget in your life when you came to Jesus Christ. And I will never forget that day. The devil had me so bound up, I could not open my mouth. I could not say a word until I got on it. My wife, at the time, she didn't know what was going on. And the only thing she knew to do was to call my mom. Thank God for praying mothers. Amen. And so I got on the phone with her, and she's like, Ian, what's wrong? And I couldn't say a thing. And she says, all you have to do, son, is call on the name of Jesus. That was the first word out of my mouth, and instantly I was changed forever changed in Jesus' name. That's all it takes. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not may be saved, they shall be saved. Amen. And ever since that point, our lives have been different. Our children's lives, even Brandon, who wasn't even maybe 9-10 months old at the time, his life is different now from the course that it could have taken. Amen. I remember I was a drinker. I was a drinker. And I would roll pennies for beer versus rolling pennies for diapers. And I remember we drove past a liquor store, and my daughter in the back seat says, my dad doesn't go there anymore. I'm like, that's right, I don't. I don't go there anymore. I'm drinking from a new wine. Amen. Amen. God is good. Well, I tell you what, there is something about this year. Lord laid it on my heart that this year is going to be different than the past years. This year, there's so much excitement around it that he kept telling me there's going to be a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit, greater than any have seen before. And I tell you what, you need to grab a hold of that and you need to run with it. Now, you can take the opportunity to be like, I'm not really sure if that's what it is or not, but I tell you what, I know God's voice. I know what he said to me, and I'm ready to run. I've started already doing things a little bit differently. You may have known social media that people do things all the time, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and all that stuff. And, of course, I have all of it. I just don't do much with it. But the Lord laid it on my heart. He says, you need to start making some videos. You need to start putting God's word out there. And I'm like, okay, it's a big step. But I tell you what, you got to take the first one. You won't get anywhere unless you take that first step. And when you follow God, I guarantee you, you will not fail. You cannot. You can't fail, not with God. There's nothing that God has ever done that has failed. Nothing. Amen. Now, Pastor Earl told me that you are a tongue-talking, spirit-filled church. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, where would we be without the Holy Spirit? Where would we be? I tell you, this morning, some people put this on praise and worship. They take such a light approach to praise and worship. I want to tell you something. That place will take you right straight to the Holy of Holies. It'll take you right into the place where you are face-to-face with God Almighty himself. Remember back when Moses and the Israelites were in the battle against the Amalekites? And Moses had to have his arms raised the whole time. And as they were doing that, they were winning the battle. He was praising God, wasn't he? And they were winning the battle, but he would get tired and he would lower his arms. And as he started lowering his arms, they started losing the battle. And he had a couple raise his hands. Keep them raised. Keep them up, guys. Keep them up. Keep them up. Keep them up. And they kept winning. They won the battle, did they not? Praise will take you exactly where you need to be. It'll bust open doors. It'll bust open the walls. It'll tear down walls in Jesus' name. Praise and worship is greater than what you can think. It cuts to the heart of the soul of a person to change them. And it can have an amazing effect on somebody just to hear God's word through music. There is an artist out there. I won't mention his name because I don't think he deserves any praise. But his sole purpose, to show you how strong music can be. Music can take you either straight into the throne room or it can take you completely the other way. This gentleman, in an interview, they asked, why are you so evil in your music? Why are you so talking about so many bad things in your music? He says, with a serious face, he said, my sole purpose is to take young people to hell through my music. Music is extremely powerful, extremely powerful. And you need to grasp a hold of when it comes time to worship, forget everything else. Forget everything else that is going on in your life. Take the opportunity to step into his presence. And I tell you what, one moment in his presence can change your life. You can sit there, you can read your Bible your entire life, and not and you, yeah, you'll get something out of it, but you can take one moment, one single second, one moment of your life and sit there and be with God Almighty face to face can completely change your life. Completely take it and flip it 180 degrees. Amen. And I got to tell you something. Something that God told me when I was in youth group years ago. I'm not going to say how many years ago. But years ago when I was in youth group, we'd, like you were saying this morning, that you come and you pray before service. That's what we do at our church. That's what they were doing when I was in youth group. They would come before service and pray for the service, pray for the Holy Spirit to intervene. They had the doors shut about like that is right there. And it's about pretty much the same kind of doors. It had little windows in them. But somebody would come over and I could hear them. And they'd lay their hands on the door. And they said, "Darnie, Father, we know your return is soon." And instantly in my spirit, he said, "Yes, I am. He is coming. There is no prophet or prophecy that needs to be fulfilled left. They're all been fulfilled. God knows every single person's heart on this planet. Whether he knows them or not, he still knows their heart. And he knows the ones that will say, "Yes, Lord, I accept Jesus Christ." And he knows the ones that will turn their back on him. And I tell you, though, God is waiting for that one last person to say, "Yes, Lord." And then he is coming back in an instant. He will open up that sky and he will come in on a cloud. Now, in Acts, if you would, turn with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 9. He says, "After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" It says, "Why are you standing here?" When I read that spoke to me, it says, "Why are you still here? Yes, Jesus is gone. Yes, he is gone. But you have a job to do. You have a job to do. Do you understand that you were not just saved just for fire protection? You were not just saved just to have a nice life. Yes, God wants to bless you. God wants to have all the promises of God. He wants to bestow upon you. He does. But now you have a job to do. Jesus paid the ultimate price, and that blood was not shed for no good reason. It was shed for you, and then you have a purpose. It's called the Great Commission. You have a purpose, you have a destiny, and you have a calling, and you must fulfill it. And you are to take God's word, no matter how long you've been a Christian. I don't care if you just became a Christian yesterday, if you've been a Christian your entire life, you have a job to do. And you have to go out there and you have to preach God's word, and you have to be bold enough to do it. A lot of people will say that I'm not too comfortable with sharing God's word. Well, is the Holy Spirit not called the Great Comforter? Will he not comfort you and help you in that time in need? He will give you the words. You need to rely on him to give you the words that you need to say. And I tell you what, he will not fail you. He will give you the exact words you need to say. You just got to be bold enough to take the step and step out there and do it. You got to do it. I don't care what it is. You go to your job every day. You know, I'm not just a youth pastor. I have a job too. You know, I go to work every day. And the devil is a crafty one. And he can sideswipe you pretty good, amen. But I tell you what, once you grab a hold of what actually happened, it's over. The battle is over. Now you got to get back to work. But I go to work every day, and I look for opportunities to share God's word. Now, it might not necessarily be to go up to somebody that doesn't know God and say, "Hey, Jeremiah 29:11, you know, says, 'I have plans for you, that saith the Lord, to prosper you,'" right? I don't necessarily share God's word in that way, but I do it in my actions. I do it in the way I treat people. I live the life that God has called me to live. God is love, right? He is pure love, and he manifests that in his Son. And God and Jesus is our mirror, the way that we should see, or way we should act, right? Well, what you need to ask yourself every moment, what would Jesus do? Remember those wristbands years ago? There may still be a few of them floating around. What would Jesus do? You got to ask yourself. I tell you what, you get into God's word, you spend time in his presence, you will know what to do. Compassion. He is so full of compassion for people, his own creation. The day that he was in, you know, when Adam and Eve fell and they sinned against God and they ate of the tree, and Jesus was walking and looking for, "Adam, where are you?" He was wanting to spend time with him. That's all he wants to do. He wants to spend time with his creation. But because of what Adam and Eve did, then that relationship was cut off. But thank God he had a plan to redeem us. He had a plan to bring us back. He had a plan so that he can be with his creation once again. But ever since that day, a tear has been in his eye, in Jesus' eye, because he's separated from his creation. But Jesus is in heaven. He's alive, and he's in heaven, and he's going to return one day. But I tell you what, I'm reminded of a story. How many of you know who Jesse Duplantis is? He told a story that he went to heaven, Close Encounters of the God Kind. It's a good story. Of the time he went to heaven, and he said he was meeting face to face with Jesus. And he said that he had a constant tear in his eye. And Jesus told Jesse Duplantis, he said, there's going to come a day where judgment is final. I will not be able to undo that one. He says, and Jesus said, I regret that day. I regret it that I will never be able to be with my creation, the ones that have chosen not to be with me. He says, I regret it. You have a job to do. I have a job to do. We have a responsibility to Jesus Christ for what he has done. We have a job. We have to go out there. We have to preach God's word. I heard a pastor say one time, preach God's word every single second of your life, and when necessary, use words. How many of you know the worldly saying, actions speak louder than words? It's true. People see your life. People see how you are and how you act. And when they are in trouble, I guarantee you that they will come to you. And you have to be bold. You have to be emboldened with the Spirit of God, with the one that lives on the inside of you. You know, you carry him around everywhere you go. You shouldn't, the one that created the heavens and the earth, the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. You know, that's inside of you. You carry that everywhere. Why? You don't need to be afraid. Fear, what we were saying, is a liar. It is a liar. A straight lie from the pits of hell. And it's one of the great tactics that the devil uses to try to keep us from doing what we're supposed to be doing. Do not waver from following after God. Now, I know this is a Rhema church, right? So guess where I'm going to go? Mark 11:23. Brother Hagin spoke on that for more than 60 years, and I don't think he still got all of it out of it. Amen. Knowing all of that I've just said, let me read this to you. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I told you there's going to be a greater outpouring of the Spirit this year. Miracles, signs, wonders. And this scripture right here, the first part it says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, whosoever. I want to ask you this morning, are you a whosoever? And now the second part of that scripture says, shall have whatsoever. The question is, are you a whosoever looking for a whatsoever? Now, it also says, because let it be confirmed by two or more witnesses, right? So in John chapter 15, it says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. It shall be done. The devil tries to get you so caught up, and I'm not saying you, like it's all your fault, but it happens to us too. Pastors are not immune to through the devil's works. We're not. I don't care what anybody says. Pastors are, in my view, one of the hardest hit, because if the devil can get the pastor out of the picture, then everybody else underneath will fall. But you, in this day and age, miracles, signs, and wonders, you have to have the boldness, you have to have the Holy Spirit working within you, so that when somebody, you guys got a Walmart around here? All right, when you go into Walmart, and you're waiting in line, don't take that as, oh man, I got things to do. I got things I got to do. Take that as if the cashier seems like it's going a little slower or something just doesn't seem right, say, what's my opportunity? Where's my opportunity, God? What am I supposed to do anything? Sometimes he won't even tell you to do anything, but if you just look for the opportunity, keep constantly looking for an opportunity, and God will give it to you. You could be in the middle of Walmart, and he could tell you to go pray for that person. Or he may say, ask them about those shoes. You got to be bold enough just to go over. Who knows where it will go? God knows where it will go. But you got to take the opportunity to say, yes, I'll go do that. With as silly as it may seem here, I know I'm following God here. And God's going to do something with it. Time is short. If you look, this is something that the Lord revealed to me. You have the Old Testament, which is a lot thicker than the New Testament. God told me, you don't have much time. It's real short. Have you heard of Kathy Creek? She was just at our church not too long ago. And she came there to minister, and she told us, you know, you're an army of God, you know, and you have a job to do, and you have, you know, just pretty much what I've been preaching about here this morning. And she said, if you feel that call on your life, we'll come down here. Well, I tell you what, the entire church went down to have their hands laid on them. The entire church says, we're ready. We're ready for what God has for us. And I tell you what, she came along towards me. She laid her hands on me, prayed for me. Lord, touched me, laid me out. Now, I've had that happen before where the Holy Spirit has come upon me and slain in the Spirit. And I've experienced that. But the next thing I experienced was something I'd heard about, but I've never experienced firsthand until that day. Many people have said that God pinned them to the floor. I experienced it that day. No matter how hard I tried, I could not get up. And I finally said, what? What do you want? He said, stop playing games. It's time to stop playing games. It's time to stop playing church and be the church. It's time to just not just be the church within four walls every Sunday and Wednesday. It's time to be the church walking around. How many of you have heard of the Azusa Street Revival? God is wanting to pour out his Spirit once again to where he uses you. You know, God cannot do it without us. He has to use us. He has to use you. You are important. You are so important to God that he knows every single hair on your head. For as many grains of sand that cover the earth, that's how many good thoughts he has about you. I can't help but read them scriptures except and take it personally. God cares for me so much. The capacity of love from God is so greater than what you can imagine. His capacity to love is far beyond what we can think. But his capacity to hurt is such greater too. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. But in these last days, we have to be ever vigilant. We have to look for every single opportunity. We cannot afford. There will be people. Look at it this way. There is literally life and death in your mouth. Whether you share the gospel with other people or not, there are people that will die and go to heaven or hell, whether you share the gospel or not. You have to. Your responsibility is so great. You have to share God's word with people everywhere you go, because you will be the only Jesus in their life. A lot of people know the only thing about Jesus Christ is it is a cuss word. And that's not the case. Jesus Christ is not a cuss word. He walked this earth. He is my Lord and Savior. He is the one that I called upon that day to change my destiny completely. My life is no longer the same. I can't even look at the pictures from back then when I was in the BC days before Christ. I can't even look at them because I couldn't stand the man that I was. But you have a responsibility. You have to go out everywhere you go. And I want to tell you what, God created me, so he knows who I am. He knows what I like. He knows what I don't like. And I like movies. So anytime I watch a movie, God will speak through that movie to show me something somewhere. And so, has anybody here ever seen the movie The Matrix? Any of those movies? Yeah, a couple of you. Well, in one of those movies, Neo loses his eyesight, and now he's beginning to see the things the way they really are, right? And everywhere around him, everything is all lit up in gold. And real beautiful, right? And I noticed that every time he took a step, there was a glow of light that would shine out from his foot. And God told me in that scene, he said, that's you. Everywhere you go, everywhere you place your foot is yours. Everywhere you place your foot is yours. I have called you there. It is yours. You need to realize that when you're at the gas station or you're at Walmart or you're at the grocery store, everywhere you place your foot, he has called you there. Now, where's your opportunity? You need to look for the opportunity. He said, everywhere you place your foot, you'll have it. It is yours. Obtain it. Take it. Take it by force if you got to. Amen. You got to take the opportunity. You got to take it. You are a chosen child of God. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Ain't nobody. Now it says no weapon formed against you will prosper. It didn't say that there wouldn't be weapons formed. There will be weapons formed against you, but they shall not prosper. You have to look at them as, okay, this is just an attack. You have to see it for what it really is. If you feel like something bad is coming against you, you need to stop for a minute. Ask God, what is this? Is this a distraction from what's supposed to take place? Now, where can I shine your light in it? Where can I take the opportunity to flip this for what the devil meant for evil? Where can I take it and flip it for God's glory. There is a greater battle than you out there that a lot of people maybe don't even want to know about. But there is a constant battle over good versus evil. That's why it so many movies. That's what it is good versus evil. Is because that's the real battle. It is God against the devil. I tell you what, I read the last book of the Bible. We already won, and we're victorious already. So, what are you worried about? Shouldn't be worried at all. My mom has a placard above her living room doorway. It says, faith is not knowing that God can. It's knowing that He will. Now, that sounds great and amazing, but when I read it, God says that's not right. It says, faith is not knowing that God will. It's knowing that I already did. You see, so many people, when you are saved, when you come to Jesus Christ and you go through the new birth and you are a new creation, that is so easy to do. That's just the easy part to do. The hard part after that is starting to, oh, what about healing? Don't you know that your salvation, your healing, and everything was already paid for on the cross? It was already taken care of on the cross. So you're, as easy as your salvation was, so should healing be. Healing should be that easy. The main problem is the devil tries to confuse us, and then we get the, well, maybe you didn't read enough this week. Maybe you didn't pray enough. Maybe, well, you shouldn't have done that to that person. Well, I guess I created a sin by doing that. Well, guess what? All your sins have been forgiven, past, present, or future. Well, see, every sin from Jesus, when He paid the price for every single sin, they were all in the future. He knew you were going to mess up. He's already forgiven you. You understand? He already forgave every single sin that you ever created, and every single sin that you have ever done or are going to do has been wiped clean. You have to walk in your righteousness and who you are through Jesus Christ constantly, every single day of your life. Like I said, we have a job to do. It's just a distraction. Every single thing is a distraction that's going on around you to try to keep you from your destiny, from what God has a perfect plan for you. Perfect plan for you to walk it out, and everything else is just trying to knock you off of it, just trying to keep you from going off. What's that scripture? It says, every valley lifted up, every mountain brought low, every crooked way made straight. If you look at that on all plains, every valley lifted up, mountain brought down, crooked way made straight, that is a perfect line for you to follow. He has a perfect plan for your life to walk on, and the devil's just trying to make it messed up. He's just trying to get you to stumble Well, there's a song by DC Talk years ago. What if I stumble? What if I fall? Well, just get up and get on with it. Get up and move on with it. Ain't no need to dwell in the past. Ain't no need to dwell on, oh, I messed up. Repent and move on. Forget about it. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. He will be the one that comes to you and says, oh, you know what you did last week? You know what you did? Well, just remind him, well, I've already ask for forgiveness, I moved on. Anytime the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. You know, it's said that if the devil knew what would have happened when he killed Jesus, he would have never done it. And again, here at the end times, if the devil knew what he's actually doing, he wouldn't do it. The Bible talks about a great falling away from God, but the Bible also talks about a great returning. I believe we're on a great return. I don't care what the news says. I don't care what the newspaper says. I don't care what TV says. I know what God says. And I know for a fact how much, growing up and seeing all the presidents and that I've seen, I cannot remember so much prayer going up in the White House. I can't remember a time that prayer, constantly people praying for the president. President Libby having hands laid on them and being prayed for strength. You got to pray for the leaders. You got to pray for the president. You got to pray for your governors. You got to, all the people in authority. The Bible says all authority comes from God. You got to pray for those in authority. And I tell you what, so much prayer in the White House going up. The world's fighting it, but I tell you what, this country's coming to God again. And there's going to be a great move of God once again in this place. And it will be to help usher in all the people that will say, yes, Lord, here am I, send me. I will be the one. You will be the ones in the last. See, we are in the last days. And you have a huge part to play. And you are the ones that will help usher in the great return. we are the ones that will look towards the sky and see Jesus return. A lot of people are like, how? Because the Bible says every eye shall see him on that day. Now, back then, even just maybe 10, 15 years ago, you know, it was seemed what kind of possible 10, 15 years ago. But back then, how will every single person see Jesus? How is that possible? You know, then television came along, and then, you know, we got satellites now, so you can see around the world. And it kind of seemed possible that every eye might be able to see him. But then all of a sudden, technology boosted, and now we got smartphones, and every single person is carrying around a camera everywhere they go. So guess what? They can put that on social media, and instantly, every eye can see Jesus Christ. I tell you what, technology is not a bad thing. It's not. Now, it can be. Don't get me wrong. It can be. It can be used for bad stuff, and you can misabuse it, but use it for God. Amen. And God, there's so much going on. My company that I work for, they are currently in the process of making a standalone 5G network, and you need that. If every eye will see Jesus when he comes, you're going to need a fast internet in order to every person to beam it around the world like that. You don't need any lag time in that. You don't want lag time in that. Every eye shall see him come on a cloud. The heavens will open up and Jesus will come out in all of his glory. He'll gather up his people, right? And we'll be out of here. But don't think you're done. Don't think you're done, because you're not done. We're just going into the heavenly realm at that point, but you still have a job to do. A lot of people think, well, you know, I have this to do. God's put this in my heart to be a leader, but I don't see it happening right now. Well, guess you are a leader. The thing is, you might not be doing it here. You might be doing it in heaven. See, there's still people that aren't the, you know, redeemed people. They haven't made it here first in the first place. They're still, you know, and because every child is a gift from God, therefore he came from heaven, right? So therefore, there's a spirit in heaven. Well, they got to be trained. And what about the wee little ones that have been, unfortunately, have been aborted, and they got to be trained. Still, even though they're in heaven, they still got to be trained. We got a little one in heaven. We're gonna see him again one day, and since he was so small, so little, we'll get to raise him. It's so easy, in situations like that, it's so easy for some people to blame God. God, why did you do this? I want to tell you something. If you think God is in control of everything on this planet, you're wrong. There's two other forces at play here. There's the devil, and then there's us. The thing is, we trump the devil. We trump the devil because of what God has done through Jesus for us. We got the trump card. Amen. I'll tell you what. Sometimes if you want to use the word of God against the devil, sometimes you know you got to put it down under your feet, because that's the only place the devil is under your feet. Amen. And you got to put it down there so you can see it. He needs to be like, read it, dog. Read it and weep. I knew. Now, it may seem so, you know, easy for you to see me up here speaking, but when I was in high school, I was a shy kid. I would not talk to anyone. I was off by myself. When I was a little littler than that, I'd play by myself. I wouldn't go and be part of the group. I was just a quiet kid, you know, but look what God's done. How old are you? In a blue shirt, sorry. How old are you? 12? God's got a call on your life. I want you to know that. He has a plan. He has a purpose. Stay on that. If you're having trouble hearing from God and you're not sure, press in more. Press in more. God is a God you can talk to. And he doesn't just listen. He also talks back. The problem is, we'll come to God with our list of demands and, you know, and he wants to bless us, he really does. But, you know, sometimes we'll go, here's what's going on here, God. Here's what's going on there. And bless my son, bless my daughter, this, that, and the other. All right, thank you, God. Amen. And get up and walk away. I tell you what, you need to take a little bit more time and sit there and wait. The key to I did a sermon on this not too long ago. The key to power, godly power, is waiting. You need to wait to hear from God, not just sit there and give God your list of demands, but sit there and wait, and God will talk to you. Now, when you first try to do this, the distractions will come. You'll start to hear things you never heard before. You'll start to hear the refrigerator running. You'll start to hear birds outside your house that you never heard chirping before, but you'll start to hear it. And then all of a sudden, but no, don't quit there. Just keep pressing in. It takes time. And then before you know it, you're spending time directly in His presence. And then the next, maybe the first time it takes you an hour to get there. Maybe then a half hour to get there. But I tell you what, once you have gotten into His presence and you know how easy it is, then you can just take the opportunity to step into His presence instantly. From the time you close your eyes, boom, now you're in the presence of God. Now you're in His presence. And I tell you what, when you're in the presence of God, nothing else matters. Nothing. It doesn't matter. Time ceases to exist anymore. It's just you and Him face to face. All the cares of the world fade away. All of them. If you feel too rushed, if you feel too pressed, and things are too much under stress, stop and wait. Stop and wait and wait for God. Wait for Him to speak to you. Don't make it to where a lot of people say, well, God put me in the hospital to show me something. No, but He's using that as an opportunity because you wouldn't sit still long enough. Now you're sitting still long enough. Now He can talk to you. But He didn't put you there. God is love, and love doesn't do that, especially to His own creation. But He'll use it as an opportunity for you. All right, Evie, listen. Here's what's going on. One single moment in His presence can change your life. How many of you hear the heater going? See, that could be a distraction. But I tell you what, once you get so far into His presence, you don't hear that anymore. You don't. Because you're no longer in the earthly realm anymore. You're in the place called the Holy of Holies. You see, the tabernacle, the priest had to do certain things to get in the tabernacle. He had to follow a certain procedure in order to go be in the presence of God. Because if he had any sin on him whatsoever, he would instantly be gone. Boom. Dead. Because of the sin that was on him. He had to follow a proper procedure. He had to slaughter a sheep. He had to go in. He had to wash his hands, wash his feet, be in a certain garb, if you will, a certain breastplate and all that good stuff. Just so he could go into the tabernacle, the first part of the tabernacle. Then he had a certain series of procedures he had to go through. In order to go into the Holy of Holies where God Himself resided with the Ten Commandments. But if you remember, when Jesus said, "It is finished," the earth began to quake. There was a great earthquake and the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. Not from the bottom to the top, from the top to the bottom as if God Himself walked over and went like this. No, it's finished. It was ripped, torn from top to bottom so that whatever was in there to get out. And now it resides in each and every single one of us. That same Holy Ghost power, the one that they prayed for on the day of Pentecost. They didn't know what they were going for. They just knew they had a promise. They just knew, we got a promise. We're supposed to go up there and we're supposed to pray. Well, not really sure what for, but we're going to go up there and pray. So they go up there in the upper room and they're praying, and a great mighty rushing wind come through there, laid on them as tongues of fire, and every single one of them was filled with the Holy Ghost on that day. Now I want to tell you this, some people will say the Holy Ghost is gone. I don't think so. I don't see anywhere in this Bible where it says the Holy Ghost has disappeared. Nowhere whatsoever. The Holy Ghost is still here. He resides on the inside of me and you, and He continues to guide us along the path that He has for us. And He has every situation already planned out. He knows exactly everything that's going on. And I tell you what, when you go to God uses people, right? If there's anything that has ever happened, God has used us or somebody in order to give you that blessing. And I want to tell you what, why it's so important for you to act upon when God tells you to do something. It is because there's other people out there. If you look at other people, God says, go bless this person. And that person is sitting there going, I'm not really sure. Is this a voice from God? Is it not? I'm not really 100%. Well, I don't know. Then opportunity's gone. Well, now God has already was trying to work on that person to bless you. Now He's got to go find somebody else. That's why it's so important to act quickly. When God says, move, go talk to this person, go say this person, bless them with this, because you are the opportunity that that person's looking for. You are the one that they're praying to God, I need this, God, I need it. Well, guess what? He just spoke, you're it. So if you're ever wondering why your blessing's taking so long, it's because there's some stubborn people out there. We got to learn to act quickly. I was in Walmart one time, and a gentleman, he's missing his arm from his elbow down. And it was one of those where you walk by, and you look down the aisle, and you see it, and then the Lord spoke to me at that moment, and He says, would you like to see that grow back? Ooh, yeah. And I was like, do I go pray? Do I not? And by the time I turned around, boom, gone. And I'm looking for the guy. He's completely gone. Now, it was a teaching moment for me. Excuse me. It was a teaching moment. God was trying to teach me, you got to act quickly. You got to move quickly. God wants to grow arms out. God wants to grow the miraculous. He wants to, the Bible says that we will do greater things than what Jesus did. Jesus himself spoke those words. Now, not be us specifically, but the church as a whole will do greater works than he has ever done. Smith Wigglesworth, have you heard of that gentleman, that pastor? He was bold enough that he would raise people from the dead. He didn't care what anybody thought. Have you heard that story? He was bold enough to walk right in there, pick that man up out of the casket and throw him against the wall and said, walk in Jesus' name. He didn't quit, though, because he knew what God had already said. He picked him up off the floor, threw him against the wall again and said, walk in Jesus' name. And he walked. He still slid down the wall, but on the third time when he slammed him against the wall, he came to life. That's the type of boldness we need to have. How are you going to get that, though? How are you going to get it? Spending time with God, face to face, in his presence. There you are with the Creator. Again, Pastor Gwen and Karen, there was a prayer night at church one evening. We couldn't attend for whatever reason, but they had prayer night that night, and we ran into them later that evening. And because they had already spent an hour of in prayer with God, my wife and I, we couldn't hardly stand just being near him. We're like, how you doing? They had been in the Holy of Holies themselves, and it was already rubbing off, and we could sense it. You know, it's like, that's you. You could do that. You could spend so much time with God that's all over you. All over you. I've had people, I'm doing something, just going and getting gas or whatever, and people they keep looking at me like, something peculiar about that guy. Something a little different. They're not recognizing me. They're recognizing the one on the inside of me. Jesus Christ. People are constantly looking for an answer. People are constantly, I got a God-shaped hole. Well, there's only one way to fill it, and that's with God. And we have to take it. You see, there's never been a time where so much revelation of the Word of God as there is now. So much Word has gone forth, so much teaching, so many things that God has shown so many people which they have shared, and so much revelation. But I tell you what, I told Pastor JC this. I said, I get into something and I study God's word, and then all of a sudden he'll take me here and he'll show me a little bit more of it here, and I'll flip the page, he'll show me a little bit more of it here. It is so deep. And I told Pastor JC, I said, I'm learning every day how much I don't know. The knowledge of God, wow, it could go as deep as you want it to. The further you dig, the deeper you get. Some people will only hold God at an arm's length and only allow him to come so far in their life. Put your arm down. Get up close and personal with him. Get as close as you can with him. I don't know if some of you have had this. I had a grandmother that she had one room in her house, and it faced the road, and everything was immaculate in that room. Everything was perfect in its place. Christmas time, it had a tree right square in the middle. I mean, it was a big window, probably about the size of that, where the sound booth area, that size of a window, huge window, glass, beautiful, everything perfect in its place. You don't go in that room, right? You don't go in there. Everything's perfect, right? But you go in the rest of the house, it looked like a mess. Do you keep God in that one room? Do you only let him go so far? Do you only hold him at arm's length and say, this is it? Or do you let him go into the rest of your house and clean up? You can go as deep as you want. And trust me, you want to go as deep as you can. If you're as deep as you think you can go, get your shovel out. Go a little deeper. The deeper you get, the bolder you get. And when people come with you that don't necessarily, they think they're following God, but they're not, you have an answer for them. There are people out there that think they're following God, but they're not. It's sad to say that it may be in some churches, not this one, but in some churches across the country or across the world, that people will sit in the pew their entire life and never know Jesus Christ. People that have gone to church their entire life but yet have made it to hell because they never received Jesus Christ. That's why I'm saying if you can't remember the day you were saved, then were you? Jesus himself said, I am the way. Nobody else ever said that. Jesus is the only one that said, I am the way. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. I am the way, the only one. And some of the theories that I hear people come up with, I said, you cannot come to that conclusion by reading this book. You can't. I can't understand your logic, your thinking. Something has had to have happened somewhere. And there's one particular person I got in my mind that I keep, God, share with me, show me something, give me something, because he is a coworker of mine. I said, I got to know, give me a word, give me something, because this guy that I know, he's not on the right path. I know it. But yet you got to be careful, because you don't want to shove him away. You want to build a bridge, not tear it down. So you better do it with the Holy Spirit. These last days, we have to be on our knees more than ever. We have to be bold about it, but bold wherever we go. We have to be on our knees. We have to be in prayer. We don't have time. We when I was in youth group, we just said, we need knee pads all the time. Well, if you ain't got a knee pad, who cares? You need to get down on your face if you got to. There was a time I was in my basement, and the threshing floor. How many of you have heard of the threshing floor? And it was like, that's where I'm at. That's where I was at my time. I just on my face crying out to God, this is it. This is it right here. Come on. I'm not going anywhere until I get to be with you. I'm not leaving this floor until I hear from you this evening. I'm not going anywhere till I hear from you, till I get face to face with you. There's also a scripture in the Bible that says that the guy was wrestling with the Lord, that he wouldn't let him go until he got an answer. He poked him in his side, remember? Got a little injury from it. But he wouldn't let him go. Don't let him go. The Lord is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I tell you what, the more you seek, the more you find, the more you find, the more you know. And then the next thing you know, you're walking so full of the Spirit, so full of God, that no matter where you go, everybody's looking at you like, man, that's a peculiar person. The Bible says we are a peculiar people. And everywhere you go, you share the love of God. And everywhere you go, you got to know it's yours because God gave it to you. And that there's nothing that can stop you. Nothing. Nothing at all. Amen. For thousands of years, the baton has been passed down from generation to generation to generation unto this one. And to where you are today, this has been my commission for teaching you. The baton has been placed onto me. Now I got to give it and I got to take it, so I can pass it down to the youth group, so I can pass it down to them for the next generation. Because if the Lord tarries, they're the next church. But we got to treat every day like He could be here any second. We could walk out the doors of this church and He could show up. He could be here any second. You got to realize the urgency of what the time is, so that you could take it and you can run with it and take God everywhere you go. The baton has been passed to us. Now we have to run with it. Amen. Well, I'm not too sure how long Pastor Earl goes. But I'm used to teaching with youth, and I have a short amount of time, so I like to squeeze it in as much as I can. But did you get something out of it today? As I tell you what, every time I preach, I get before the Lord. God, I'm just a vessel. I'm just here. Use me. And I say, I'll do whatever He tells me to do, and I'll say whatever He tells me to say. And there's times that when it comes time to preach, I have prepared, I have laid things out, but yet at that moment or when it comes time to preach, God says, that's not it. You can get there too. You can follow the Holy Spirit just like that. We need to be there. Instant. Instant. In season. Instant.